News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
A new poll has shown that one in five Irish people link stigmatising words to mental health problems. Now, top findings show that almost all adults polled linked mental health difficulties with depression or anxiety, but significantly less people recognised the words bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. Sea Change are tomorrow launching their Green Ribbon Month, which is aimed at promoting mental health awareness and reducing stigma. Now, to join us to discuss this is Graham Thornycroft, who is a professor of King's College Dublin, who specialises in stigma reduction. And he joins us now. Graham, we're still using words like psycho and lunatic for people with mental health difficulties. What impact can this have on those who have mental health difficulties?
Well, good morning, Paul. Lovely to talk to you this morning. So you're right that these words are unfortunately still very common, and you hear people say nutter, crazy, mad, these types of things. And there's several problems with this. One is it causes great offence and real suffering to people who have or even have had years ago mental health problems. So it shows great disrespect and discourtesy, but also an indication that people actually understand very little about mental health at all. And so I know your surveys just found these shocking findings. The same here in England, where I work at King's College London. So we find that still most people don't really understand all the range of difficulties that come within the sort of heading of mental illness, like phobias, panic attacks, PTSD, as well as anxiety and depression.
I remember growing up in Ireland here, when people in a rural community, somebody who may have had a nervous breakdown, and this is now 40 years ago maybe, they went to a mental health facility maybe for a while and they came back. But they would always be stigmatised as a result of that, yeah. Subtly, because your man was in the big house. That was the term they would use. That's the kind of scenario you're talking about here.
It is. And in fact, it happened to me. So when I was a little tiny tot, my mum had a severe period of depression. She felt like killing herself. And she had to go to hospital for a while. In fact, she had depression and was treated with ECT, that's electroshock therapy. And she was working as a district nurse at that time. So I said to her recently, Mum, you know, what did you say to your boss when you were ready to go back to work? She said, you must be crazy. I said, nothing, because she thought she would have lost her job if she'd been open, even working in the health service about that, you know. And I give a lot of talks about stigma. And often now, when I'm working with health professionals, I see people nodding in the audience. So certainly in my country here in England, it's still a problem in people among working in health to actually admit that you have a difficulty. And there's a sort of feeling that you should be strong if you're a helper and you shouldn't show weakness and so on. So let me give an example. I went to a remarkable talk just a couple of days ago, organized by Lloyds Bank. And the chief executive of Lloyds Bank is now very open that he has had a period of mental ill health when they had the economic crash. He's come through that. He's well now. His bank's performing very well. So I think in many countries, people are increasingly open, increasingly able to talk about mental health issues. And talking is the critical thing. How we defeat stigma is by talking about it.
Will we ever get to the point where mental illness is discussed as opening a broken leg?
Well, that's the aim. And interestingly, in some countries now, we're making real progress. So let me give you an example, Paul. We have here, I'm based in England, a campaign called Time to Talk, very similar to your Green Ribbon campaign and Sea Change. And what we've shown over a decade now is stigma gradually fading away. Now, it's not gone yet, but we've shown up to about 10, 15% of the way stigma is described by people with mental health difficulties is actually better now than it used to be. And you see lots of different examples of that. You see, many companies now have active policies to include people who have mental health difficulties, to support them if they're not well, to try and prevent them going off sick and so on. We see increasing numbers of people in a lot of countries talking about it. So, you know, Bruce Springsteen's been talking about it just the other day. There was Mariah Carey. I saw this poster for a new film called Rampage, big hulk of a man called Dwayne Johnson. He's talking about having had depression. Andres Iniesta, Serena Williams, I could go on. Many, many people are now feeling able to talk about this much more than ever before.
PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, is a relatively new phenomenon, isn't it, in the narrative, because it was only really categorised as an illness following the Vietnam War. And also, that's become part of our understanding. But the bipolar is something that, to my mind, is something we only really have begun to realise the existence of in very recent years.
Yeah, I think people are gradually understanding the sort of separate nature of the different types of mental illness. And PTSD is interesting because, you know, back in the First World War, there was so-called war neurosis, and people recognized the emotional impact of seeing terribly, you know, shocking, horrific scenes in war. But it's only recently it's been sort of formalized as a type of mental illness. Bipolar is another interesting example because until recently it was usually called manic depression or manic depressive psychosis, which gives it a sort of horrific, you know, Hannibal Lecter type image. But bipolar is much more accurate. And we've had, again, quite a few film stars and musicians coming out about having bipolar. And it's all part of this opening up, talking about the problem, which is the key to trying to solve stigma.
There is another element, is there not, here, Graham, in that, you know, somebody who is suffering from mental health issues, because they do not appear, it's not immediately obvious that they have a health defect or a difficulty, is because they look so normal, and that would then create a sort of antipathy in the person's mind towards somebody with mental health issues. Isn't that right? Isn't there an element of that?
There is. And in fact, you know, some of the people who first started talking about stigma 50 years ago said there's a difference between visible and invisible. And they said, you know, mental illnesses are invisible. Interestingly enough, I mean, partly that's true, because if you say you're feeling depressed, people say, well, you look all right to me, get on with it. But interestingly enough, quite a lot of people who have experienced mental illness actually feel that other people can see that they're different. They don't believe that they can sort of, you know, fake it and carry on. But nevertheless, if somebody's just looking a bit off, so let's say somebody in your family, somebody at work, they're not sleeping so well, perhaps they're drinking more, perhaps they're more irritable, perhaps they're looking pale and tired, then that could be a clue that this could be a sort of, you know, mental health problems are there. So the critical thing is to sit down and talk. So there are a number of myths to get in the way. One is that if somebody might be depressed, you don't talk about it with them because that will make them worse by talking about it and it will bring you down as well, like it's contamination or an infection. That's wrong. The solution is to sit down quietly and just talk about ordinary things, cup of tea, let's have a talk. Another myth is if somebody might be suicidal, you don't talk about it because talking about it might trigger it. You might actually cause their death. That's wrong. The critical thing is to talk. And if somebody's not well, then you signpost, you help them to get to help, or maybe go with them to a clinic or to a, you know, a place where they can be assessed properly.
Okay. We'll have to leave it there. Graham Thornycroft, Professor of King's College London, thank you very much for joining us.